questions on that? Chandra? See, she knows. So, I mean, it seems like the best. It really does seem like the best scenario because it is the only one. And it's not a terrible match.
Want to share these yogurt covered blueberries? They're really good. I'm like, I'm eating it all.
I eat them often in the car. Starbucks. So thank you.
Still? They were, are they broke up? They've been together. Hi. Oh my gosh, really? Hi.
Hi. Good to see you together. You two are not hiding.
Never. not in front of people.
Behind the scenes.
Finally. Not really. I'm sure I have one twice.
He's supposed to be going to Chicago this weekend. Look, take your temper.
Yeah.
So I think you're like 98.4.
I haven't had my hair braided since I was in my
person, you can just believe in others.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, I can spell certain things, like, I don't remember, like, I know, like, I don't remember.
If you don't remember,
too. Hey, whatever.
Hey, hi to everybody on the Zoom. We're about ready to get started.
All right, everyone, we will now call to order this evening study session of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, May 20th, 2026 at 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center, Urbana, Illinois. May I have a roll call?
Den Arroz.
Present.
Alejandro Gomez.
Present.
Tony Nichols. Elaine Flencia. Kyle Patterson. Jane Sprandel.
Here.
Jen Straub. John Paul Joachim.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here. All right, we do have a quorum, so we can proceed on to approval of the agenda. The agenda is on pages 1 through 2 of the packet. Is there any discussion on this, or would anyone like to make a motion?
I move to approve the agenda.
I will second that.
All right, Arez motion, Sprandel seconds. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we will move to public participation agency input. So, as always, members of the public are welcome to speak with the Mental Health Board and share their perspectives with us. We cannot respond directly to public input, but we may use it to inform future actions. If you would like to make public comment, you can do so in several ways. You can approach the podium now or at the end of the meeting when we'll have another public comment period. You can also fill out a comment card and hand it to me, the chair. Or if you are on Zoom, you can raise your hand in Zoom, or you can put something into the chat to let us know that you would like to speak. For anybody who is interested in providing input to the board, please be aware of the Illinois Lobbyist Registration Act and take appropriate steps to be in compliance with the act. I may limit individual time to 5 minutes and total time to 20 minutes. So with that, is there anyone in person or online who would like to make public comment? It does not appear no one in person is looking to make public comment. It does not look like anybody online is, but I think people are signing in simultaneously, which makes it difficult to know. Are you putting something in the chat to say you want to speak, or?
People are still joining the meeting, and so I'm having to admit them. But that's okay. If they missed public input right now, they can do it later.
Yes. All right. With that, we can go ahead and move onward. And Jen Straub is here, so we are excited to have her, as we are the rest of you as well. I just thought it would be good to state for the record that Straub is here.
I apologize for being late.
Sorry, not to call you out. Just more, it's always weirded me out when people just show up, like when people come and we don't like admit them to the meeting, like, does the world know you're here other than if they read the minutes? So I, on my second to last meeting as chair, am formally acknowledging members as they enter the room. All right, with that, we can move to what's already been happening, which is the chairperson's comments. So I'm Molly McClay, chair of the Champaign County Mental Health Board for not much longer. So I did just want to mention that next week we will have a meeting where we will be discussing more of the contents of tonight's study session, but we will also be discussing other business, such as the Evaluation Capacity Building Projects report, and we will be having our officer elections, and we are hoping to skip the June meeting because everybody needs a break. So the new officer, the elections will are for officers to take place on July 1. So if you are interested in running for an office of the Mental Health Board, president or vice president, secretary, you know, please state your claim at the next meeting. And if you want to learn more about any of the the positions. You can speak with Lynn. You can speak with me. You can speak with our current Vice President Jane, our prior Vice President John, and others in the community who have been officers before, such as Joe Omo Osagie. So there's my note about that. And then as for tonight, we will be discussing funding allocation scenarios, and we're going to kind of walk through a few different pieces to that. This is probably going to be one of the hardest set of meetings, if not probably the hardest set of study session and meeting that I've ever been a part of on this board. Really a great opportunity for me to end my tenure as chair. So I think we have all done our best with a very difficult situation, and my only hope is that in the future going forward, I know part of the reason we are in this scenario, a great part of the reason is because federal and state entities have in some ways partially abandoned their call to support mental health and substance use disorder issues in these communities. And I hope that we will have a restoration of federal and state, to a lesser extent, stability in the future, and more of a commitment from these entities to fund these services. Because when those entities don't do so, the crunch comes to the local organizations, local communities to step up. And we are doing what we can. But what the need is does not match what we have available. So I wish so much that so many different things were different, but I think we are going to do our very best. So those are my comments, and we will now move on to the executive director's comments from Lynn Canfield.
Well, that was great. I think that I agree with all of that. This was a difficult process, and a lot of people worked on, you're going to go through a lot of information tonight, and the last part is the hardest part, so we can, I'll just wait till then. But absolutely, there are some really interesting proposals to look at, and it is painful that we can't afford everything, because I didn't feel like anyone was really trying to trick us out of a bunch of money. It really did seem like a lot of worthy ideas. And so anyway, this has been tough, but in the end, we're gonna meet our goal of a stronger system of services for people with mental health and substance use disorders and developmental disabilities, right? Yay. Okay.
Thank you very much, Lynn. So we will now move on to the contents of the study session, which is further discussion of funding requests. So the first item is program year 2027 funding request. This is on pages 3-8 of the packet. It's also in the program summary booklet that we utilized during the April meeting and study session. So you may find it there. So first, we do have a list of all of the requests that were made for program year 2027 funding, and we have one draft staff program summary that has been presented to support the board's review of the application from GCAP, which is now eligible for consideration. So I think, Lynn, if you could share what has changed in the eligibility, then we can discuss if we're going to review it and then review it.
The agency did submit their PY25 financial review, and we did a little bit of follow-up. Everything is good. It was actually a pretty good review. So,
I think it came in right after our last study session, so it's a bummer we didn't get to review it then. But I know we wanted to, wait and review it once we received that financial review. So I think, I guess now I'm trying to remember if we formally voted to review it. I don't think we did that with other ones. So I think we can just move straight to reviewing it.
I mean, I could certainly check back, but I do think that what you had decided was to defer consideration of requests until the review or audit were submitted. And that's happened, and the follow-up issues are all completed.
All right. So with that, we can go ahead and consider the application from GCAP. So we can start with Leon Bryson sharing the overview, and then we have Alejandro Gomez to present the application.
All righty. GCAP Advocacy Care and Education Services. This request for $113,878 would continue a program currently funded by the MHB. The 46% increase over the current funding amount would add a part-time outreach and education specialist and increase the case manager's time in order to serve twice as many housing clients and also a higher number of short-term clients. Harm reduction approach and various supports for a unique target population for which federal and state funding may be cut. The financial review was received on 4/30 of this year.
Go ahead.
All right. Just to add to the fabulous work that Leon comprised for this project. So highlighting a lot of their services. So they do provide a lot of advocacy, care, and education services programs. They also provide a lot of important continuum of support for people living with HIV/AIDS, particularly individuals experiencing housing instability, emergency or rapid rehousing needs, or other barriers to care. The program also combines housing-related support, some case management, transportation, food, so basic necessities, HIV education and outreach, and then also peer community support in a way that is responsive to the complex needs of this population. What I took away from the proposal also reflected a really established program with clearly defined eligibility criteria, really strong community partnerships here locally, and then also services that are well aligned with its stated mission and target population. The previous year's data does suggest solid utilization and meaningful outcomes in areas of self-sufficiency, social support, and reduced barriers to care in a lot of their goal achievement. Also demonstrate a lot of attention to cultural competency and humility, harm reduction, and access for rural residents. For funding, so my proposal would be to that I think it's definitely fundable. I think it meets that basic necessity need and criteria that's highly important. They provide a very specific and vulnerable population with a very holistic model that addresses multiple problems at once. So it's not just about HIV services in isolation, so to speak. So it's, again, also about that housing instability, the transportation, the food, access, outreach, and ongoing support. So to me, it definitely meets that criteria of basic needs that could mean life or death for people. And I really don't want to say anything against the funding, so because I'm definitely for it. Any questions moving forward? I know a lot of their or some of their funding will be allocated in hopes of acquiring new personnel or additional people on the team. I think that would be wonderful to help with maybe getting some services in sustaining or diversifying their financial support. You know, that way it's not totally dependent on us moving forward in the future. And then maybe outlining some specific outcome targets for 2027 that goes beyond just service delivery numbers. That's it.
Thank you very much. Do other board members want to share comments or questions about this application?
Yeah, I wanted to add on to that, that one, it is something that is very much needed in the community right now as it's a growing crisis again. But also, I've noticed that from their last year report, they met or exceeded, and mostly exceeded, every single one of their goals and targets. So that's pretty wonderful.
Thank you very much. Other comments or questions? I can share my typical that I've shared for each application, which is why should we fund this and reasons to consider not funding it. I think, you know, to echo what everybody has already said, this is a unique population that really no other programs serve. It's a vulnerable population with unique physical and mental health needs intersecting with other marginalized identities that we have been very adamant about wanting to support as a board, you know, having GCAP participate in our LGBTQIA support study session earlier in this year, or I guess last year. I also, like, this is a long-standing program in our community, but it's only been receiving funding for us for a short time, and I think, you know, the current leadership of this organization has really solidified the programming and the outcomes, and I think kind of taken it to the next level, and I feel very confident about what this program is going to be able to do in the future. And I think despite the late financial review, this particular agency's situation with the lateness is the exact reason why we have the build-in for making extensions, because this was an extraordinary extenuating circumstance. And it's why I don't want to see the ability for us to give extensions to be taken advantage of or this to go away, because in situations like this, that is where it's needed. And I think they really went above and beyond to articulate what the program needs, even under these extenuating circumstances, including, this is like going into the next item just a slight bit, but this agency did come back with, you know, if we needed to reduce the funding award, it was very clear that they needed everything that they asked for in this application. And even though they did a phenomenal job at coming back with like what they could reduce, it was really painful to like read, because it would, you know, impact service delivery in certain ways. So I really commend their work. I know, you know, reasons to not fund, there really aren't any. I think, you know, something that I'm a little concerned about is like, you know, the size of the organization and like maybe some sustainability planning in case of emergency situations, like could board members or other staff members like step in and be more involved. So those are just some thoughts. Any other questions or comments about this application? All right, seeing none, we can go ahead and, well, I guess right before we move on, I do want to acknowledge that there is one application that we have not reviewed whose audit has not come in. That is TASC. I know we are going to be making, having a lot of discussion tonight, and we're going to be making decisions next week. But I did just want to mention that, you know, if that audit comes in at some point, while we're still in the process of making decisions, we could still consider that application. So next, we can go ahead and move on to the next item of the study session, which is additional agency input. This is provided on pages 9 through 22 of the packet. A briefing memorandum presents applicants' responses to some staff and board reviews of funding requests. So, Lynn, can you share a little more about what this is?
This is pretty traditional to our process. Each year when we send out when we finish the staff reviews of applications, we send them to the agencies with the request that they tell us if we've made mistakes. Because what we don't want to do is misrepresent their work to you or to the public. I mean, it's actually pretty easy for us to communicate to you if we made a mistake, but once we put it out in the public, we need to be really sure of it. So a lot of times what happens when we ask for that is we get lots of additional information, like responses to the questions and comments that we've made in our reviews rather than corrections of our work. And so we tend to just share all of that without a lot of fanfare in the next board packet. So that's what this is. And some of the some of the additional information is really interesting, and it just shows if people had, you know, maybe more time to organize their materials before the application deadline, we wouldn't have had those questions and comments. Like, they knew what they wanted, it just wasn't well represented in the application. And then in other cases, there's some just providing context that really there was no place to provide. So anyway, the reason I'm sharing that with you is that I'm really on the fence about additional information. Agencies who did a really complete application and got it in on time don't have to give you any extra information. And so sometimes they may be like inadvertently getting the short end here, like they're not getting a lot of airtime, you know. So I'm a little bit on the fence about how that works, but it's all here. Some of it is quite long, and all of it had to be converted into accessible format, which, because of the way we're doing that, introduced a new risk of error. So if we as staff have now misrepresented an agency's work, all I can do is apologize for that, but we couldn't just reprint all of the tables as they were presented because some were very inaccessible or spread out across the page in an unreadable way. Like, no one would be able to read it. So we did the best that we could. Like, here's a table that some of our staff spent a lot of time getting. It's from Strides. But we thought that was important. So anyway, I should stop talking. Did I miss anything, Leon?
I don't think you missed anything, but I would like to just acknowledge Ms. Canfield and Ms. Bowdry for taking the lead with making many of our documents accessible. A lot of strenuous work and frustration and screaming and yelling at the screen went into getting things done correctly. So hats off to them.
Thank you. It's true, because every time we think we got it, then we're like, oh, wait, no, that's totally wrong. So.
Yes, I want to concur with what has been shared. I know the staff has put in a tremendous amount of work on this pack, like on all of the accessibility, like on all of the packet materials, on all of the accessibility pieces of those materials, and I think on this packet specifically, and I will say it is, I appreciate why folks may have sent additional context and additional information, but it does create a lot of extra work for our staff to have to sort through. I mean, that's partly why we included everything, because that would require them to like look and be like, is this actually answering the question or not? But it did create a lot of work to have to convert everything to make it accessible. And I just would encourage, if you have to correct things from the application, just submit them correctly the first time. But I do, I appreciate everybody's work in compiling this information. So I open it up to the board to ask questions or make comments about this particular memo on pages 9 through 22 about the additional agency input provided. And we'll have a couple other memos to discuss related to this. But any questions about this particular one or any comments?
I just found it really heartening how thoroughly people responded to our questions and just fleshed out their applications so succinctly. I know that must have taken a lot of time. I understand it was, you know, not as timely as it could have been, but I was very impressed with what I read.
Thank you very much. Lynn, do you want to add a comment?
Well, that is a really good point. So that if we are going to contract with anybody who had corrections like this, they're ready now. It's not going to take very long for them to make the required revisions. And so that is a really nice thing about, like, that part's out of the way.
And I would just really quickly add on to that. It also makes, I would assume, their application for our next funding cycle so much more succinct. I hate that we're in this position.
The Stride ones is amazing, like so comprehensive and
abandonment is abandoning.
And obviously easy to read because of all the work y'all did, but still, like, so comprehensive. The data is amazing to see. And like Jen was saying, like, it'll be way more concise when they apply again. Yeah, I like that one.
Thank you very, very much, both of you. Any other comments or questions from board members? All right, we can next move on to our next item, and this is agency responses regarding reduced budgets. So there's another briefing memorandum on pages 23 through 50. This presents applicants' responses to questions about reductions. So Lynn, could you explain this one?
This is something we've never done, at least that I remember. But I think a lot of the organizations that we fund also apply for funding with United Way, and they routinely do this. Like, they'll ask for what could you do with 70% of what you've requested, or 50%. So it's Mr. Bryson wrote the email. The beginning part of this memo is just some context for why this time we would take that step. I really didn't want to, but I think people were asking, a lot of people were asking this question, what would happen if agencies had lower requests? And Leon put it really beautifully in an email with two questions, which are, what could you do, you know, what could you do with less money, and how would that affect the services proposed? And people responded quickly and in really great detail. And for the most part, I hated it, because I'm like, oh, I don't think you should spend less money on food for clients. Like, the, you know, just like a lot of the cuts that they could make, just, it just felt really bad. It's kind of what you were saying, Jen, like, this is a painful cycle. But so part of my context was just to go through, like, if you're just looking at a spreadsheet, applying a single principle to the full set of requests, you never really get to a good sweet spot. Like, if you just keep everything at current level, PY26, that was one of the first exercises that was actually at a board member's request. It doesn't spend enough money, or it, I mean, I guess it's okay for us to put money into fund balance, because we do need to build the fund balance back up too and prepare for future lean years. But it, you know, it's sort of, this is also a year when the house is on fire and people really are struggling. So maybe we should spend more. Then the next scenario was only the programs we're currently funding, but at the higher levels as they've requested. And that got us closer to the target amount, but it lost the potential for the innovations that were offered, which were, like, really pretty cool. And then the next scenario is if we only funded agencies with timely audits, that is, audits that were completed at the time of the application, it's written in here, what's the advantage of that and what's the drawback? It doesn't really spend enough money. And I think that the board has spent a lot of time considering each agency's circumstances and being very sensitive to that, and finding, like, there are differences. Like, there are some agencies that we know can't get calls back from their CPA firms, and that causes delays in audits. And so do we want to compound whatever that kind of bias is in the current system, and it's out of our control? Then the next scenario was only those requests that were complete, where everything was complete and there were no problems. This was similarly, just there was left a lot of money on the table and would tend to reward only the most sophisticated applicants, which is not super consistent with the board's values. Fully eligible requests was everybody. There's only like one agency that doesn't seem to be eligible. So that was more money than we have. And then alignment with priorities was another one where, like, Everything was nicely tied to a priority. So do we, in the future, do we identify fewer priorities? It's just, anyway, that was more expensive than we could do. So then the rest of the memo is the actual responses from agencies. Not everybody responded to this. For some, it's obviously like more painful to do this than others. But all of the details are included, and it was pretty compelling. I think this is a good place for me to stop talking.
Yeah, to add on, I think as you see kind of on those pages 23 through 25, where Lynn wrote out like the different single standards we could apply to make our decisions, there were only like a couple of them that would result in an affordable scenario, and it would be like way less, like, so it, none of them, clearly none of them, no single standard or strategy works. A combined strategy has to be utilized. And one of those pieces could be to utilize this information from agencies about what they could do with less. So I think just opening it up now for board members to make comments or ask questions about this particular memo and the information that agencies provided, as well as what Lynn was talking about with the potential standards we could apply. Any questions or comments from the board?
I think it's really good, everything that got put together. I think even in my decision-making, I feel like I'll probably still be more nuanced. Like you said, it's no one size-fits-all solution that really works right now, but it's really cool to see, you know, how these can impact and how they can't. So, and it actually does kind of help with, I guess, the next part of this packet in that decision-making as well.
Thank you. Other comments or questions?
So as I went through the packet, I chose not to read the ending before I read the book. And so it was interesting as I went through and I made little notes. Maybe people shouldn't read my notes, but I made a few notes. And then it was interesting how, based on what I initially was thinking, based on maybe some potential like solutions, recommendations. Again, I felt... I don't want to call out certain agencies or anything like that, but, you know, a couple of them, like when they laid it out and so I could see this is the effect if we don't hire this half-time person, I'm like, that is a big deal. You know, so maybe that is, you know, so again, like you'd said previously, you know, getting extra information, does that kind of cloud it a little bit because, you know, put all your stuff in the request, but I think I learned a lot of great things. And I don't think I had anything that was like, oh my gosh, now I've got the answer to my question. But it made me look deeper into like, okay, this is what this program can offer. And again, it also made me look at a few programs too. I feel like if we had more money, I would love to do it. But if they could only maybe clean up this or that, maybe next year we'll be able to fund it, you know. So I think maybe that's a way we can give some suggestions too for people who we aren't going to be able to fund or something. So so I really appreciate the time that the agencies put into this and our staff to organize it for us, because it was very helpful. And that's what I do on a Sunday afternoon. I look at these packets.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments?
Working in social services in this community for as long as I have, you know, this was heartbreaking to read. I just really appreciate the time that people put into, you know, kind of cutting off like the limbs of their programs for us, you know, because I know how hard these folks work and I know, you know, how much heart and how much time and just everything goes into the work that's being done. And so, like, you know, we have, like, the very painful decision of how to allocate these very limited funds. And I just want to be on record saying that, you know, we're not putting value on the work. We appreciate the work. We find the work invaluable. We so hope that the work continues. We have so much respect. And this is just somehow the volunteer position in which we find ourselves.
Absolutely. Other comments or questions from board, or if any staff want to make comments too, kind of in response to what we've said. I guess I'll also just echo, like, it was very informative to read these particular responses to this question, which I know was a hard decision to determine if we would even ask this question. And Leon Bryson's beautiful email was a large part of why I think it ended up being asked. It was painful to read and also very instructive in terms of how far these funds go with all of these programs. So I applaud all of the work that was done on this and agree that this is just an incredibly painful decision. I also had some other thought that flew through my brain and is now gone. So maybe it'll come back for the next one. But this was really helpful information and just is really hard. Any other comments or questions from the board? All right, seeing none, we can move on to the next item that is the hardest and longest. I do want to be clear, we're not voting on anything this evening, and anything in this memo can change. So this is the allocation scenarios memo. You can find it on pages 51 through 71 of the packet. A briefing memorandum presents affordable scenarios for program year 2027 allocations. As with all other study session materials, this is included for information only to support board discussion. And at the very end, there is a spreadsheet attached which tracks the totals. And that's on page 71. So, Lynn, I'm going to have you just kind of, maybe if you can do just a little overview, and then we can kind of figure out as a board how we want to like look through this and talk about it.
Yeah, this is the whole thing, right? I think reading some of the proposed reductions really cemented the full requests to me for some of these. There were some where it was like, okay, I get it. You could actually do this for a little bit less, but I don't know. I kind of got back to the all or nothing approach. Like, maybe we don't fund it at all this year, but encourage them to come back next year. In the end, the full product does kind of endorse currently funded programs. So we're really, like, and once we sign those contracts, we're all in it together, and we need them to be successful. So we've been talking this evening, some of our staff, like, you know, this might be a do-or-die year for some of these continuing programs. Like, if they don't demonstrate really great results, then we do need to take a chance on some new guys and some of the new ideas. Which, I mean, honestly, I'm sorry that we couldn't review TASC. But with an audit this late and some other agencies who continue to struggle with the on-time audit requirement, it pushes enough of our work out of the timeline that taking on another one that has a late audit would be a risk to me. So I'm sorry you couldn't review it, because they have a great reputation for doing the kind of work they proposed, and it was at a low cost. So anyway, is that enough to say? The memo is structured similarly to the memos of prior years. There is a decision memo version of it. It's not in your packets for next week because I wanted to listen to you all tonight, which means I need to stop talking, and then we'll make some changes to it if you want us to. This scenario leaves about $22,000 to go into fund balance. It's a very up in the air year for both revenues and expenses. The county is renegotiating health insurance, and I mean, you know, this is a really big if. We're a small team, but a steep increase in health insurance could actually cost us $22,000. So this might be a good year to leave a little bit of money on the table, but you don't have to. This is your money. You can over-obligate if that's on your heart, and we'll deal with the consequences later. You know, sometimes we get rescued by ARPA funds or some other change of fortune. Anyway.
Thank you so much for introducing this memo and this piece. And I think some of the first several pages kind of talk about like how we approach the process and you know, our priorities, our collaborations, the requests, and kind of how the request numbers have changed over time, and also some specifics around how we'll construct the motions for next week. And then on page 58 is really where the allocation possibilities begin. I also just want to add, I think there were many staff members and maybe some board members, and I will definitely count myself among them, who sat with I spent hours with a spreadsheet. I have many different versions of this spreadsheet looking at if we did this version, if we took all of the reductions that everybody proposed, how much would we have left? And I mean, one thing that we determined is if we took all of the reductions proposed, we would really only be able to fund one additional program. Or potentially like two smaller programs, and that to have like 15 programs have theirs reduced in order to fund like $150,000 more was one where, at least in this version of the scenarios, that's not how it ended up making sense to go. But I think, you know, there. If anybody is wanting to run numbers on what could we do if we like went back to that and did all of these reductions, what would we have left? I can try to do that while chairing this meeting. I might need to defer chairmanship to our vice president while I do math. But I did want to mention that as like something to consider, that like kind of the biggest overarching piece was in these suggestions, which of course can be changed, is to prioritize sustaining the programs that we already fund. Which means limiting the funding of new applications, with one exception for a program that applied last cycle, that reapplied this cycle. That is one that is being, that from an agency we already fund, that is one that in this version is being proposed as a possibility to fund. So that's a little bit of a broad overview of what's here, but I wanted to turn to all of you on the board and ask what might be the most helpful. We've done this walkthrough of this memo different ways every year. Some years we've like walked through each piece and talked about it in depth, and other years we've just kind of looked the overall and said, like, do we like this, or, well, like is not the right word, can we live with this or not? So what would be helpful to you all in terms of like how we walk through this?
So I guess I mostly have a question first. If we were to propose something a little bit different in the funding range, would that be something that gets put on the memo for next board? And would that have to be a motion, and would that have to pass, or?
Well, this is just a discussion. So if there are things that it's clear that you all want to support, then I'll create emotion as the to the best of my ability. You can, next week is the week that you take a bunch of decisions. You actually don't have to make them all. It's great if you do, because then we can roll the contracts out and get people paid timely. But you can, you know, if we don't get it just right, we can have another meeting and try to get it right. Awesome. Also, if I write a suggested motion that just doesn't make any sense, you can ignore it.
I think one caveat to that that I just want to make everyone aware of, that Lynn has made me aware of, is that in order to publish the formal memo that we will use on next Wednesday's meeting, due to the holiday and the 48-hour notice that is required, the memo will have to be published by Friday at, is it 5? More than
no,
earlier
the
than 5.
County hours are till 4:30, but it's the weekend before a holiday, so I talked to IT. They're all going to be gone at 4, but one of them is willing to help me if he sees a text from me, and I would rather not stay super late myself. So really we have tomorrow and then Friday morning to make changes, but then, like I said, it's your meeting, and next week you can make totally different decisions. It just makes for a smoother meeting next week if we work some of that out now.
Yeah, I think I don't want to dissuade anybody from, like, making changes. I just want to make it, like, very known that there is very little time to make adjustments. So this is presented as though essentially in a memo format, but changes can be made to this, but they will have to be made basically by Friday afternoon in order to get them published for our meeting, although we can change them
Friday
on the
morning, because
Friday
I can't just, like, write it.
My
as
apologies.
Soon as I hear it. Yeah.
Yes. What I'm saying, I guess, we need the changes basically now so that Lynn has time to make the edits to get it published on that timeline.
So just remember edits and then accessibility. Every document requires so many new steps to get it accessible. So, yeah, if we can, I don't think that 4 o'clock Friday is fair. Not to the IT guys either. I mean, they stay late all the time for us. So if we can, Friday morning would be like the very last. But it'd be great if we had the discussion now, because I don't think it's very productive to take individual opinions after this meeting and try to synthesize them. That's going to be me calling Molly all day, and I don't think she actually has time for that. So.
No, I don't. I have set aside time to help Lynn with this, but the windows are not infinite. And for the purpose of us being a public body to discuss the things tonight, just if we're suggesting a complete overhaul of this document, that might be a lot to do by that deadline on Friday. So I hope that by saying that I'm not dissuading anybody from making changes. I may have inadvertently, but I'm also trying to protect Lynn and the staff.
We would need to call a special meeting in order to prepare them, but we can do that.
We can do that. So thank you for your question. Are there any other questions or comments in terms of how we discuss this memo, basically?
Like I said, I kind of went through the added information that some of the agencies gave us. Oftentimes, if they were like, oh, we can cut our request by 20,000, I'm like, oh, okay. And then once I got to the next section, the next chapter, I looked at, you know, the ways how we determine how we decide. And some of those, I don't think it's totally fair to be like, oh, you're new, so you're out. Or, you know, and so I think we have to kind of do what it looks like happened. They pretty much went by a case-by-case situation. So overall, most of the stuff going forward, I understood the rationale as to why the potential, you know, decisions are there. And so I don't know. I think you're kind of leading to the idea, do we just go through each application? Does anyone have any thoughts? And then if majority of people are like, yeah, it looks okay, we're not voting tonight. But if someone's like, you know what, I 100% disagree. I think we should, or this is why we shouldn't fund it. So maybe we could just kind of go that way, because, again, we don't want to drag this out forever, but Lynn is so right.
This is the time.
Right, yeah. Now is the time, not tonight when, you know, I was thinking, but I was embarrassed to say it. I mean,
yeah,
I put my
that.
Foot in my mouth all the time, so I apologize if I hurt anybody's feelings, because it's not intentional.
I'm all for that format. I'm sure some of them will go fast, like you said. Like, oh, wait, that looks perfect. I'm sure some of us will feel really passionately about some and maybe not others. So it might go fast, at least for some of them, you know, so.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is very similar to what has been done in the past. I think last year we did something quite different. It was my first time chairing. So I'm like, what did we even do before this? I considered going back and watching past meetings to remember. But instead, I asked Lynn like 2 minutes before this meeting. So I think going through each one and, you know, not, I guess, having the level of discussion we need to have about each one. And some might mean a 10-minute deliberation, and others might mean 30 seconds. So any other thoughts or considerations from you all that before we start walking through it? Lynn, is there something you wanted to add? You were looking at me, so I wasn't sure.
Do you guys want me to put each one on the screen while we're talking, or just talk?
Sorry. For everybody else, I think we've got them.
I'll focus on taking notes.
Okay.
I did want to ask before we start, because this may be helpful in sort of timing the discussion, are there any applications that any of the board members are seeing where they know right now that they want to make like a larger suggestion or want to spend more time on it, just so I can kind of flag it for the pacing of the discussion? And if you don't know that right now, it's fine.
There is one I was going to maybe talk a little bit more about, and I believe it was the Rosecrans Behavioral Health Urgent Care that was new. Other than that, I was just going to make slight decrease suggestions and kind of make my case for them.
But okay. Yeah, that is good to know. I mean, might it be helpful to start with the Rosecrans one? It's kind of in case that's kind of framing your overall philosophy. Maybe we could start there and then kind of go back to the beginning.
Sure.
All right. So we will go ahead and start with this is the Rosecrans Behavioral Health Urgent Care. And this application and the notes about it and the request is on page 67. So, right now, it is, you know, the request was for $360,000. It is a new program coming to us for funding. And as with the new programs throughout this, the suggestion currently has been to not fund it this year, but open to discussion. There's also notes for each application on the priorities, details about the request, some special contract provisions, and things that are needed prior to contract. So that's listed for all the applications. So, Dan, I know you wanted to talk about this one, so please share your thoughts.
Sure. I understand that the ask is a little bit high on this one, and it's new. But I still believe it is crucial. As they are able to temporarily house and provide critical care after hours and on weekends. I've seen firsthand that they actually are at the places that that it says here. They do partner with different first responders. I think that's very important. Not a lot of people are aware of the program, but when you are in one of those urgent situations, they make you aware of it. They provide you all the information. At least in my experience, it's also free. So it's also, it's garnering, you know, your your ability to pay for it, but for the most part, that first night is always going to be free, that you get to stay there, and it's perfect for someone who's having an episode, as I would call it, who might otherwise end up in jail or something. So it does kind of stop, you know, people from getting too far gone. And I might even put it out there if it is too much of an ask, and they did say that they needed all of it, what would y'all recommend if we were to fund this? Like, would it be less? Would it still be none? Like, I'm still open to anything. It's just kind of my case of making it known that I still think it's very crucial. And I actually have heard from other members, other staff that, hey, why are they not being funded more by the state and the Fed in this situation? I totally get that. But like was said at the beginning, you know, lots of state and Fed funding has been slashed is the right word. And while it might come back and we might not have to fund at this level or at all, I still find it a pretty crucial thing to fund. So I'll open it up to discussion if anyone wants to input anything.
Thank you very much. Other thoughts from board members?
I would agree with you that it is absolutely essential. There are a lot of absolutely essential services on here that I don't think we're going to end up funding. That's not funny. That's an uncomfortable laugh. I don't worry about this particular agency's ability to find other funding if it's not from us, in the same way that I do with some other ones.
Thank you very much. Other comments from board members?
I think for this program, obviously it's something that I didn't realize that we didn't have, since I work with kids and they have this, you know, easily for kids to get services and get placement, but for adults, it's a vital service. And it's a shame that it's only during normal business hours, you know, and the funding would be to be for after, for nights and for weekends.
I think they did already have it. It's just that it's new to us. Like, I think it was already being funded because it was definitely a thing already. It might have stopped, but I know for a fact that the night and the weekends thing was always a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that this is, and my understanding is this particular service is a new service. It would be sort of a spinoff of the crisis service that goes to the hospital, but this would be at an urgent care location so that people could go to a less traumatizing environment rather than like the police or the hospital, and that a large portion would be assessed and stabilized so that they didn't have to be hospitalized. But I think our understanding is that this is a, like, essentially runs the hours of an urgent care service, so like 9 to 9, 24/7, and that our funding would be to do those night and weekend hours. And if we had to do a reduction of the request, then it would be to reduce those night and weekend hours, which to me seems so crucial. Like, my ask is, like, why not have all of this, the current funding for the program, be for night and weekend hours, and then maybe we could fill in some of the daytime ones, because it seems like nights and weekends are when people are more likely to need help. But the hours do not go into past 9 p.m. even. So a lot of people I know do need support past 9 p.m., and they would have to go to other entities to get crisis stabilization. I know I, for myself, I ran a lot of different mathematical scenarios on how we could fund this. There really was the only way to do so would to reduce basically everybody's request to that lower amount, and we could still probably only fund half of this program. And if we're looking at funding only the like 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. hours, then would that mean it only is 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. hours? I am curious about what this program will do with what it has right now, since it is seems to be in the process of launching. If they came back next year and their program was very successful and they got other funding, like, would we be able to afford to fund some of those hours next year, like if they wanted to expand, which I know is a discussion we had about the Promise Mobile program as well, like that this would help expand our funds would help expand their hours. Do we want to see what they do with the hours they have and then look next year? But this one was very hard for me because I very much see the benefit of this program and how transformative it can be. I know this community has wanted something like this for a long time. But there's really not a scenario that we could fund this full request without basically not being able to sustain the current programs that we have.
I think from my perspective, it's what program would be not okay with not funding this year, but is this program higher need than a different program that we're funding currently? And while I hate to say it, but Families Stronger Together, while it is serving a high need population, it is a difficult to reach population. And it is one that is hard to be successful in. And their TPC, their treatment plan clients is low, and it's not any fault of their own. It's very difficult to succeed in this area. You know, is it worth looking at not funding that one year and funding this program? I mean, that you would still need, 60,000 more. So you'd maybe have to cut somewhere else, but that's like the only way I can see funding this program. But again, it would be nice to have. I think the other thing that kind of bothers me a lot in this town is we have OSF, and we keep hearing, oh, it's going to be all psychiatric and mental health care, and we're going to have all this access. Mm-hmm. Okay, where are we with it? I don't know. I don't know if people know. It would be nice to get some update.
Presentation next Wednesday. I'll invite you to it.
Yeah, it would be nice.
I don't think we have one in either hospital here, do we?
Well, what, inpatient ward?
Inpatient psychiatric.
OSF does for adults
OSF
only.
OSF does. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They actually
OSF
have no hospital
their
beds
whole
at the
hospital.
Yeah.
With the idea that they were going to become a psych hospital.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for this and be like, okay, we don't have to go to Streamwood. We don't have to go to Lincoln Prairie. We don't have to go to these other places. It'd be nice to have all this access, and I'm waiting for news. So it'd be nice to have OSF come and present to us what their plans are and where they are on things.
But I mean, I also know that, like, even when with, you know, OSF and, like, I know that Rosecrans Crisis Intervention Services are the ones who go to OSF and assess people, and in conjunction with the psychiatrists and the medical people there, that is how the determination of hospitalization is made. And this would be an option for people to go to, not have to go to the hospital, be able to be assessed, and then only get sent to the hospital if it's absolutely necessary. And I know for a lot of people I've worked with who the hospital is a traumatizing experience, and if they don't have to go there, if they can go somewhere that feels less intense, like an urgent care. But I'm also like, well, why can't our urgent cares do this work? I think it's incredibly challenging. I think part of the issue is like the size of the request, because it's a bigger request than like most of anything we fund. Like what we would have, how many other services would have to be reduced or not funded in order for us to fund this, which is essentially equating to the night and weekend hours only.
I think for urgent cares, it's really hard because they are usually APPs, like advanced practitioners, like nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and then a lot of family medicine physicians, and so they're not, unless they are specifically trained in psychiatry, they are not equipped, like myself, to do this kind of work. Like, I am not equipped to do that as a pediatrician. Like, I will handle general non-crisis, non-urgent mental health care. And so having a one location like this urgent care center would be great. It would be nice if they partnered with OSF, who is saying they want to plan this, to have a place where they could go that's a non-urgent place, and then have them, instead of, you know, bogging down ERs and not having a traumatizing setting, you know, it'd be nice to have a calming area to go for something like this. And knowing that the future already, right now, like Carl ER is expanding because there's just so many people having to go there, and the wait is, you know, there's a long wait in any ER, but it is longer than it's been, and that's going to take time to, you know, expand and be able to take the amount of patients that two hospitals were taking. So people then coming in for mental health care, like when you go to an emergency room, it is based on urgent need. Are you having a heart attack? Are you having a stroke? Are you having appendicitis? You know, and while people are going through mental health care crises, that is an emergency. You know, it is not something that you are going in 5 minutes, you're coming out. You know, you're staying there for hours and hours and hours and hours. So, and that is very stressful when you're sitting in an emergency room, not being prioritized and understanding, like, yeah, there's people there with, you know, other emergencies that are very time sensitive, but you're having an emergency too, and you're having a crisis too. So I agree. Yeah, it would be great to fund this, and I would love to fund this. It's just really difficult seeing what you would have to cut to fund it this year, at least.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement that maybe, as Jen suggested, maybe we ask them to partner with other orgs to see who can fund them, like, you know, in other areas in the county. I did want to add, I may be completely wrong in who assessed me, but basically when I was 19, I went to OSF. Having actually like a fibromyalgia crisis, lots of pain. And they assessed me, and, you know, fibromyalgia is like something that usually it's like stress, you know, something psychiatric, psychological is kind of triggering it. There was someone who came in and showed me some pamphlets. One of them was, hey, look, you can go to this facility. And it's like, it's clearly for rich people. Like, I'm just like, I'm 19 in college working 3 jobs. Clearly, this is why I'm having a flare up. And I cannot afford that. And then the person showing me these pamphlets shows me this other one. And I could have sworn it was the Rosecrans Urgent Care. And they said it was free. I was like, free. Okay, sign me up. I don't care what it is. I ended up going to this external facility away from OSF because that's where they assessed me. And to their credit, it didn't take that long, but I was like very stressed. So maybe it did take a while. I don't know. And then I went to this facility in the evening, and it was in the evening. It was like 6 p.m. So I thought nothing would be open. No one would be able to help. Went to this facility. They basically brought me in. They said that I was going to talk to a psychiatrist the next day, next morning, but that they would try to help me right now to calm me down, to get me ready for an actual psychiatric evaluation for the first time, actually. And I actually got to stay in a safe location with a roommate. And then the next morning when they assessed me, they said, you know, they gave me my diagnosis. They gave me a prescription right away. I had never really encountered that kind of care, that kind of quick care. And yeah, ever since then, I was referred to a psychiatrist after that, and I've never left from that program either. So it got me on kind of like how I always talk about meeting your basic needs. You know, I was in college working 3 jobs, super poor, wouldn't have done this myself. But in the ER, I was given a choice to get a psychiatric evaluation and get help right away. And eternally grateful for that. And while I understand that there's definitely ways they can probably get funding, because like like we all said, right, this is a program that everyone would love to fund, I would think. So if we can maybe get them connections with other orgs that may be able to fund them, that would be cool too. So
thank you for sharing that. And I know that's I think this service is similar but not the same, because I know it doesn't have an overnight element. But I agree, like, I wish that we could fund this one. I know that because this is, you know, they're launching this new service, I am concerned about reducing current services that we are funding to be able to help services that are getting off the ground. But it is incredibly painful and a hard decision. And we can discuss, you know, options for, like, if we want to fund this, what would we have to change throughout the rest of the scenarios to be able to fund? But I do know that there's not really a scenario where we could fund the whole request. And I don't know how, I think on one hand, our funds could help in any way, but if we're only funding a small portion, I don't know how much it would help and how much would it hurt other programs. So this is just why this is very painful.
I definitely agree. I think it would almost hurt them to reduce it. So it's probably better that they try to find other funding for now. Like you said, once they're evaluated for, you know, if it's a helpful resource to the community, then hopefully next year when there's money.
Well, and I would like to see them apply again next year. I guess, obviously, I feel like there's a huge need. Personally, I think it is a great option. And it's easy for me to look from the outside in and be like, wow, so everybody has their mental health crisis before 9 p.m.? That was a big thing that bothered me. I feel like it needs to be maybe 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. or something like that. Because I kind of feel like from 8 until 5, I'm not sure why they wouldn't have a staff member being a triage. You know, my daughter doesn't even have her social work degree, and that's what she used to do at her old job. They would take turns who was the triage person, and during that time, you hope no one comes in needing immediate care, but she could catch up on her notes and stuff like that. So I'm thinking that would be cheaper, because if she does need, you know, if she needed someone, she'd be like, hey, you know, doctor, you know, psychiatrist, I need you. Or, hey, I need an interventionist, which surely Rosecrans is doing stuff like that. But I just feel like 9 to 9, don't you already have a lot of clinical staff already on staff until 5 p.m.? So that was one of the things. Again, we'll talk about how I think Dr. Yukim said, you know, we're a small amount, really, of Rosecrans's budgets. They do have some other avenues to get funding. So as much as I want to do this, I feel like there's some other grassroots things, some other things that are working well right now that maybe we shouldn't cut. And again, I think Rosecrans is doing amazing things, and I want us to continue to fund them. Just I'm not sure if we can do this one this year, but I'd love to revisit it next year.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in. I think Rosecrans, just historically, since I used to work for the Champaign County Mental Health Center, and then it transitioned to Community Elements, and then now Rosecrans, I did a little bit of digging back in the day just out of curiosity, but I do think they are located throughout the state, I think in Northern Illinois as well. And I think they are receiving funding from SAMHSA, like, you know, lots of millions of dollars over the course of a couple of years. So I think, you know, if they could allocate some of that funding that would go towards Northern Chicago, and here I could envision that the Northern Chicago branches can pull funding from other local Chicago areas and, you know, maybe allocate some of that funding here. So
that's a very good point. I also want to commend Rosecrans, because they are an agency that has at times come back to us and said, we got other funding. We don't need your funding anymore. And I really appreciated that there are certain applications that we were, you know, funded when I was first on the board that we don't fund anymore because they got other funding. So, you know, that makes it particularly hard because if they're coming to us for funding for this, it means that, you know, it may be more difficult to get funding from other sources, but I agree with everything that's been shared so far. Are there any other comments about this one? Or are there any other applications that people kind of want to discuss of this nature of, like, potentially making a large transformation to, like, what we might consider doing?
I guess I would just say that looking at the draft and looking through what was suggested, I pretty much came with the same or similar conclusion with what I would prioritize this year, at least.
Compared to the suggestions written. Okay. Well, I think we can go to kind of just briefly review each one, and then if there are adjustments that people want to suggest, we can do that. So we can start with Brightpoint. I might ask Lynn if you could, help me out in presenting each of these. I'll be okay. I can do it. I had surgery 2 days ago, so I'm trying to hold myself together right now, but nothing major, but I'm a little in more pain than I expected. So on page 58 is Brightpoint Healing Beyond Violence. This was another, this was a new request. It is a service that is currently in operation that is losing funding from another entity. They requested $217,106. They did provide some information about what they could do with a lowered amount. And the current suggestion due to the sort of prioritizing of the programs we already fund, the suggestion would be to not fund this one. Are there any comments about that?
It absolutely breaks my heart, but I think that the best way we can spend the limited money we have is to continue to fund the programs that we are currently funding. I did the same thing that everybody else did, and I don't really see a way around that. That would still be an effective use of our money.
Thank you very much for sharing that. Any other comments on this one? I think this was particularly hard for me, one, because I have worked a lot with gender-based violence in my career, and because this is a program that does already exist, I came to the idea of, like, could we try to fill in the gap for this one, because it is something we have done before, but it would also require a lot of other programs to not get their full request. This is also a larger organization like Rosecrans that's in a variety of different places throughout the state that we hope might be able to have some resources to fund this program in other ways, including, I know they don't currently accept Medicaid for this program, but potentially, or I thought it was
kind of looked like it was all Medicaid and they were hoping to avoid supplementation by not using federal funds, but instead using local funds, but that's still supplementation. So it's, but that could be like a way simplification of the issue. So
maybe, I knew they had Medicaid. I didn't know if my understanding was they didn't for this program, but that the overall piece of it is what you say. Are there any other comments about this one? All right, we can go ahead and move on to the next one. CCRPC, Community Services Homeless Services System Coordination. They requested $189,007. They did come back with a reduction that was quite a big reduction that they could potentially tolerate, but it would it would result in like loss of staffing, loss of service provision. So in this, you know, current scenario, the suggestion is to go ahead and fund the full scenario, but we can obviously talk about if we'd want to make any changes there.
So for this one, this is one of the ones I saw that they were basically doing a lot of research this last year for what they're planning to implement this year, and I think they are very needed, and it is a current one, right? But what I saw in the reduction was not necessarily that they would lose a current employee. It's that they would lose a projected one. And their TPCs and their SCs that are still projected are still like fourfold, or at least their SCs are fourfold from what they had last year. And their TPCs are also fourfold, actually. It's like 23 TPCs that they actually resulted in last year. They plan on 150 with the new FTE of the CIH coordinator. So it still seems like something worth funding, and I think that they're going to do amazing work, but it seems like they're still going to be doing really great impact with the 98,000 proposed reduction.
So are you thinking that we might want to consider reducing this one to be able to fund something else?
Only because it seems like while it does impact one of their future growth projections, I still think it wouldn't impact their services. One thing I would say, though, is that they did a lot of good studies in the last year, so I understand why they would have projected an additional employee. So that's something to think about, something to consider. It appears that they would still make great impact with the 98,000 instead of the, 189,000, yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw, and I think their kind of breakdown of this is on page 29 and 30, that it would reduce the number of treatment plan clients by half but it would not result in like the loss of a staff position. It would just result in not adding a staff position, but that would impact the number of treatment plan clients by a large amount. But I agree that, you know, they still have good reach. I know that homelessness services is something that we have talked about really wanting to prioritize. So I think, you know, if we were to reduce the amount of this request, you know, what would the purpose of that be to, you know, where would we, what would we do with that, basically?
I think, again, every one of these is a very difficult conversation. One of the things struck me with another application, that person had said, retaining my staff is ultimately important, or something like that. And yes, we can get away with not that half-time position, but they can do more. And I feel like it takes the pressure off to have one more person. Because, you know, I've been doing this a little bit on the side as my fun hobby lately. And this is extremely hard work. And so as much as I don't want to say we can't fund someone else because I think they deserve another half-time person, I kind of do right now. And it's so hard. This is no easy answers. But what seems like a half-time person could be a huge morale booster. It could make a lot of changes for many people's lives.
Any other thoughts about this one? Maybe more specifically, are there others who would want to consider reducing the request? And if so, like, what would we do with that?
By what would we do with that? What do you mean?
I guess, what would we do with the additional the difference between the amount that we've currently allocated to it, if we've reduced that by mathing it out, like around 98,000, what would we do with that 98,000 instead? Like, what could we...
Well, I know, well, we're just getting started, but definitely like the $22,000 for like health insurance for staff members, that would be an example.
You mean to add it to the fund balance?
Okay, so adding that to the fund balance, what are, Lynn, do you have thoughts on what fund balance would be ideal for us to get to? That's not a question.
No, I have some advice from the County Board Finance Committee's vice chair, but it doesn't go that deep. Like, they've never suggested not funding as many services as possible, just being prepared to build up the fund balance. So that's actually something we could... I mean, we could build it up. But if you have compelling case for services, do that.
Yeah. That is a difference of $90,633. But again, I guess I'd rather do it as a service than to build the savings, but that's just kind of my thought.
And I didn't mean that all of it. Yeah, I just meant just that amount.
An important thought to consider. I mean, one thing I will say, kind of coming back to, is like when we mathed out what if we reduced all the requests by the amount that they said they could reduce, we could really only fund like one additional program. And I think figuring out, okay, if, and not all of them we could, because the amount would be like only around like $150,000. I'd have to go back to my spreadsheets, but you know, the total amount reduced that we could reduce the requests by would not be able to fund all of the additional programs. Okay, that wording doesn't make sense. Some of the programs still wouldn't be able to be funded because the amount of the request is even more than that. There could be some that we could fund, but I think figuring out of the new services, which one additional do we fund, sounds very challenging as well.
As far as like holding money for the future, I'm trying really hard not to be a fortune teller, not to predict, because there's so many really scary indicators right now, and I don't want to accidentally be too cautious with this money. And I mean, the future's going to come either way, so yeah. But it's a really important issue, and we will get back to it.
I guess we can move on to the next one, and we can always come back to any of these later. So the next one would be the CU at Home Life Skills Case Management. It is the new request from CU at Home. They originally requested $305,000. They did come back with a greatly reduced option to be of around $50,000 that we could potentially look at. But again, because this is a new program that we haven't previously funded, and they haven't, you know, this program is not previously applied to us either, the current suggestion would be to not fund this one. So what thoughts do we have on this? Anyone have any, the phrase endorsement doesn't, like, endorsement of this plan or concerns about this, like, want to, you know, make a change here?
I do endorse denying it, and really just because it's new and it is a high amount, but it is something that I hope they reapply for in the future.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that, and it just doesn't rise to that criteria of the level of programming that rises to, like, life, death, basic need, so.
Thank you all for sharing your thoughts. Any other ones? All right, we can move on to the CU Early program. They requested $86,701. This is one where there is a shared collaboration with the Developmental Disabilities Board. And so the Developmental Disabilities Board officers talked with the Mental Health Board officers and Lynn and Leon and Kim about using a chunk of this IDD set-aside funds that we have to partially fund this program, and then the rest kind of coming from the mental health side. Lynn, if you want to, if I did not explain that correctly.
speaking of, like, predicting the future, this comment that the DDB has recommended that specific amount of set-aside, that's not true yet.
Okay.
They fully support funding for this. They also, this was at a meeting of officers, but also during the DD board meeting, this is really important for this one and the next application, they were very strongly supportive of considering early childhood as like a very high priority to them too. So use all of your DD set aside for that, and they would love to see both of these programs fully funded for what that's worth, and they shared that with the officers. So anyway, I need to reword that in your final memo, because that was a prediction, and they haven't been that specific. We staff are being that specific. Anyway,
about the specific amounts.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. And I think we've talked about like how, we funded this program for a while. That's it's a good value for the amount that is being requested. Is there anyone who would like to share any further comments on this one?
While they did say they could go lower, I think it's a very needed program, especially since, they provide bilingual services and we know they are effective in the change they bring. So I would want to fund it fully. If not, like we discussed earlier, maybe if there is someone who suggests a reduction, use the CCRPC additional if that becomes a thing for this, because this is very needed. I agree that bringing these services to children in their early years, their more formative years, is very important.
Yeah, and I think I recall for when they said that they could reduce slightly, it would result in like a reduced number of home visits for the families, which I think would not be, that's not a reduction I would feel comfortable making. And I think it would only reduce it by a small amount.
I think it was only like 5%. So I feel like it needs to be fully funded. And they have met and exceeded all of their goals in the past. So.
Any other thoughts about this one? All right. We can next move on to the Champaign County Head Start Early Childhood Mental Health Services. And this request was for $411,062. This is the other one that was a discussion with the DDB is currently funded through this IDD set aside partially, and then through the mental health side of the funding too. So the officers discussed that, they would like to support this, and the staff has come up with like some amounts from each side, the IDD and the mental health sides, that could make this whole. And we heard some really, really great comments from Leon and Kim about the site visit that they did to this with this program, and how really high quality that was. So are there any comments about this one or any changes that you would want to make?
Can I just get a clarification on the per year for a two-year term in the motion? I see it also discussed a little bit in the special provisions part about if a two-year term excess revenue cannot be spent in second year in an updated agency plan for PY 2028 submitted prior to June
2027? So what is your question about it?
I just wanted a clarification just because I see it in the suggested motion and I don't understand it, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess for some of our longer standing agencies and programs that have proven themselves to be reliable, good with their audits, doing great work, instead of reviewing their application every year, knowing that we are going to keep funding them, just giving them a two-year contract.
So that would be the amount for the whole 2 years?
No, each year.
Each year for two years. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think most of the potential motions include that. They don't have to accept a two-year term, but there's reasons to accept a two-year term and reasons not to. One is, the amount is going to be the same next year, but it's,
but inflation.
You get it next year and you don't have to apply.
Yeah, because they might need more next year, so they may apply for a higher amount.
But it's kind of when we offer a two-year term, it's, they get to decide if they're going to take that or not. Is that correct?
There's just one, Mr. Bryson and I have discussed this, there's only one that... In this memo, I think we said everything to your term, but there is one we think maybe we should make it a one-year term so that it's for the last one. If you fund Women in Need Recovery's Resource Center, to put those two applications together because they have become such a complicated, that they're all over the state, so their finances are pretty complicated, so if they can just do their applications at the same time, it might help them be more accurate. I mean, you got a lot of feedback from them after the fact. Anyway, we'll get to that one later, but otherwise we would probably want to offer everybody a two-year term. It's kind of consistent with the value of stabilizing services, which is a value you've all mentioned tonight, or most of you have mentioned tonight, so.
And part of the amount we have available is because a big other amount is already committed to the second year of a bunch of contracts we did last year.
Can I say something totally off the tangent? Yay, because it's late and everybody needs tangents. When we moved over here from Brookings, I had occasion to look through our files going all the way back to the early 70s, and the issue of people not knowing what services are available in their community goes all the way back to the beginning, which really drove home for me. If you're going to fund something, make sure that you can be really loud about it and that you do it for a while. So it results in this, my preference, at least, and some of you, for continuing programs, which, this money could be used in much more exciting ways, but we might lose the audience. So I couldn't believe it. It was every needs assessment going all the way back to 1972.
Thank you for sharing. Are there any other comments or questions on this one? All right, I know we still have a lot more to go, but every application deserves their due. So next we will move to the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers Disability Application Services. Their request was $121,000. This is a program we've funded for a while. They did come back with a slight reduction, but talked about it doesn't seem worth it to reduce by that, and I think they made some really good points about the importance of staff retention and the importance of applications, asking for what is needed. So, that was really important. So the current suggestion is to fund their full request. Any thoughts on this one?
Nope, easy one. If we could fund them more, I would fund them more. If they had more people to do the services, I'd fund more if we had more money.
I think especially now that they have an attorney who can help to represent disability cases, that it, increases the value of the service, even more than it already was, which was very strong. Any other comments or questions on this one? All right, seeing none. The next is City of Champaign Township Stride Shelter Behavioral Health Program. This is a new request for $150,000. They did come back with a potential reduction to around $109,000, $110,000. I know we've had a little bit of discussion about this already, being that it is a new program and some other components. This current suggestion is to not fund this one this year, but open to comments and discussion on this.
So I will admit, when I first went through this and saw the suggestion, I was like, I'd like to discuss this. And again, because I've been kind of thrown into this a little bit, I'm seeing how much more there is to need. But a couple things, and Lynn reminded me of this, they did not have a CLC plan, and that's very important. So it kind of goes back to that one, you know, justification of, do they have everything turned in? And so I think that's a big thing. And then I think it was maybe yesterday or the day before, I had gotten an email that they had been approved for some grant money. And I think, if I'm reading this table right, I think they got $152,000 and some change, like, through some other funding. And so then I feel not as bad, maybe, because I do think it's a needed thing. And I think Strides is trying to make some really good strides right now to get some things taken care of, because the need is very great.
Thank you very much. Other comments?
Oh, this is the one that kept me up. this is the hardest one. I re-entered the mental health board with the idea that we can only fund the ones that we're currently funding, and I'm sticking by that. But this is very horrible. Yes.
Yeah, I would say this one is incredibly upsetting to me as well, and I really hope that they will come back next year, and, you know, make adjustments to the application. I know they did the one day application, and I know, you know, that, you know, the original NOFA was out there, and I commend anybody who did the one day one, but I hope, you know, anybody that's applied and not going to be funded this year, please do apply when you have the whole month to do it next year, because I really want to see some of these come back, but this one's very painful.
This one's about as painful as the Rosecrans one. I would love to have one of these, but I really do hope they reapply. It's definitely a basic need thing, where, oh, you can have access to mental health care while you're also in one of your hardest states in life. So, yeah.
I'm also hoping potentially some, like, partnerships with other organizations that have existing mental health services that maybe could contract or support or do pro bono to support this seems incredibly important. Any other comments on this one? All right, seeing none, we'll next move to Courage Connection. Courage Connection, they requested $176,476. This one was also filled out in the one-day application, but it is one that we have funded year upon year and talked, you know, we decided to create the second notice of funding availability because we wanted to give the opportunity for this application to come in. And so, like, the current recommendation is to fully fund it. They did come back with some potential reductions, but I think those reductions would have to be things that are filled in from other funding entities. And it was hard to see, like, how that would affect the staff. So the current recommendation is to or possibility is to fully fund, but we can definitely talk about options.
So this is one I was actually asking about the last time I was here, because I was wondering why they were wanting to fund their exec salary, but it looks like they did come back and said they removed it, and I think I would be more down for that. I would be more down for the lower request if that is the salary that gets mitigated by another fund, because it goes from 176,476 to 148,322, and those funds could go to maybe another one that may be needed, although it is only about 10K, but, or no, I'm really bad at math, obviously, 30K or so, that could go to maybe another one that might either get cut or maybe help out for a future application that comes in later in the year or later, so.
It's definitely a possibility to reduce this one. I do know part of it would be removing half-time of an advocate position, mm-hmm. which I think, you know, could affect the services. And I'm not sure, like, how much of the, you know, I know that salaries in these different organizations and how they're funded partially have to do with, like, you know, if the director is having any reporting requirements for us, then, you know, that's something to consider with, you know, how salaries are funded. You know, if different staff members are working on the program that we are funding, then, you know, in some cases it does make sense for us to fund part of that. You know, definitely some considerations to make. We would not be able to fund another program with this reduction, but we could put more in fund balance. Other thoughts from board members on this one?
Sorry, one more thing I'd like to add, especially on that note.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I just wanted to, sorry if I'm taking anyone else's time, but I just wanted to add that 5% was going to go to the exec and director of grants, so what if we cut it by 5%? Would that be too arbitrary? I don't know. I just wanted to put that out there. Instead of the full, I think 16% is what is on there for a reduction, putting it out there, maybe 5% is a good reduction then. But
I don't think it's going to change what else we're funding. I know we do have, with the suggestions, we will have about 20K, a little more than that, saved for next year. I mean, I don't think even if we save more, if there's something big coming down the road with inflation and labor costs and energy costs and healthcare costs, either it's Armageddon or it's not. Like, it's a little bit, it's not going to make much of a difference around the corner. So I wouldn't worry about next year. It comes when it comes. We'll deal with it then. I would just fund it fully at this point. I like the program. I think people should get paid for their work. So I'm down with fully funding it.
Yeah, and I know part of the increase was an important, like, staff retention, cost of living increase. That was part of the larger increase overall from the prior year. But us being able to put aside like $22,000-ish for fund balance is still like very good that we're able to do that. Something you want to add, Lynn?
We'll get back to fund balance, maybe not till June or July. But
there could, you know, also it's a very hard calculus because, you know, mm-hmm. we're also wondering, like, the way this is all calculated is something I'm not going to try to explain, right. Nor could I, but we will get more information later.
To that, I did check my target total several times this year. The first target total I had included an error, and then ever since then, every time I've checked it, it's the same. And I think you were with me when I asked the budget, the finance department director, if he had any increased revenue projections for us or any better idea of operating costs that might go up, because those are really out of our control. They're negotiated by the county on behalf of all sorts of entities. And he said no. So I didn't even have external reasons to change the target. This is probably the first year ever that I couldn't change the target. But I really, like, thank you, John, because I really do not want to predict what's going to happen next. It could be, there are so many ways that things could change that we might be laughing at ourselves next month. I hope.
Any other comments on this one? All right, next one is Cunningham Children's Home, Echo Housing and Employment. They requested $264,351. They did come back. This is a program we've been funding. Sorry, I haven't been saying that for each one, but hopefully it's clear. They did come back with a small reduction. I think it would result in them being able to, like, house, you know, have, like, one less bed available, which I didn't really want to see that get reduced. So the current suggestion is to fully fund the request, but open to thoughts. What do y'all think?
I would fully fund it.
Jen, I heard sounds from you.
Thumbs up.
Any other thoughts? All right. With that, we can move on to Cunningham Children's Home Family Stronger Together. This request is for $298,532. They also came back with a reduced request as well. You know, kind of taking the same, you know, approach with others. Tried to maintain the original request as much as possible, unless there was like a really strong rationale to change it, because we can't do very much with if we've reduced all of them. But open to thoughts on this, because I know we've had a lot of discussion about this program in particular.
I guess my only question is, if TVC is low in some of these programs, they don't meet their targets. Are they utilizing all the funds, or do we ever get money back?
No, this one has returned funds.
Okay.
Yeah. Some of the larger agencies who are able to get their audits done, you know, more timely, are also able to tell us what they think they owe us back. So that's one of the reasons they're easier to do follow-up with. So they have done that. I think this, you did have a lot of really important discussion about this one, and in the end, just to throw in a unified staff opinion, which we don't often have, there is so little available for children who are on the verge of deep justice involvement. That, and it's also been around long enough that people know about it. So we do, I think y'all had a really healthy discussion about how to maximize the outcomes here. And maybe the agency already has some ideas about how to do it better, but just seemed like, yes, it's really hard when kids are at JDC, it's almost too late, maybe, but like, that's a horrible thing to say. So can we offer them this, right? This is the only thing that we're doing.
I guess for me, it's not, is it too late, right? It's, are they at a point that they're ready to change? Like, what's their bottom? Have they hit it yet? Are they at that point? And I feel like a lot of these kids probably aren't there yet, honestly. And it takes time. Like,
but this, yeah, and this also points to a result we've seen for decades, right, Leon? That families need a lot more support than they're finding. Families of who are in this kind of crisis. So it just, we understand, and the agency absolutely understood your concerns earlier in the review process, that this was not reaching enough people. It was not reaching the intended numbers. But I think we just need to really put some hope into it. And,
I think it'd almost be nicer to have more intense services for these families and lower TPC, but actually being successful with more intense services, more wraparound, if this program could provide it, if they, you know, come up with an idea that could do that.
Yeah, I think that was some of my input last time too. To your point, I was wondering if there was something that they could do for better outreach, because I know it's really hard to keep engagement going But when it's 15 days of referral, 80% get assessed, and 15 days of assessment, 70% engage with services. I'm not fully blaming the organization because it is hard to do outreach. But to Dr. Joachim's point, is there anything they can do to better improve that? While it won't increase the TPCs by the full 13 out of 13, which would have been nice the last time because they had 13 in the program and many of them couldn't even get recorded, which, like we mentioned, could also be, we never really got a response about that, but it could be because it was so hard to keep engagement going when assessing. To answer your question, yeah, they did return 23K last time. So, yeah.
Is that about the amount that they had reduced their request by? Like, or not, you know, mentioned that they could reduce it by?
Reduction was to a reduction of 15,236. So pretty close. Yeah.
I would just say, this is an incredibly difficult population, as you've mentioned, and I don't see these services for this population duplicated anywhere else in our budget. And just because, like, a population is difficult doesn't mean that we shouldn't invest in it. That's all.
Yeah, I think, like, one question is, like, what do we want this board to stand for and be for? And, you know, I don't want these families to lose these services, and they would if we don't fund this. And I don't want to speak for our former board member, Chris Miner, but I know with the current work he's been doing, in, you know, working with those in the juvenile justice system, like, I think, you know, funding this program is one of the only things we can do to try to interrupt the outcomes that might result in, you know, them working, having to work with him in the future. And, you know, I also hear, you know, if the staff has a unified opinion that we should fund this program, that's all I really need to hear, to be honest. Any other thoughts about this one? All right, we can go ahead and move on. I know we got a lot more, and we're tired, but it's just going to make next week go much easier. Maybe it'll make it go easier. Maybe not easier, but faster.
You never, when Kyle and Elaine and Tony come back, right?
Oh, my word.
Sorry.
All right. Well, we're moving on. Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, See You Change. They requested $94,135. They did come back with a slight possible reduction of about $7,000. The current recommendation is to fully fund. This is another population I know is hard to reach, that we've been funding for a while, but I think, you know, we can talk about this further. Any thoughts on this one?
Nope. I personally like the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club programs. I feel like they do a great job and they reach a lot of people, and, you know, they've done a great job in their transition and leadership over the last few years. So I would fully fund both their programs.
Any other thoughts on this one? I think this is definitely an important program, and for us, an important population to prioritize as well. All right. Next, we can move to Don Boyer Boys and Girls Club Community Coalition Summer Initiatives. They requested $100,000. They did come back with a slight reduction as well. It sounds like it would, you know, result in, like, I believe it was like they wouldn't have as many of the programs available if we reduced it, and we've been at this level for so long with them. I don't see any reason to
actually reduce it by just $10,000, but we funded this for a while. We hear from them every year. We always talk about how much we love this program. So the suggestion is to fully fund, but open to thoughts on this one.
I guess the only other thing I would say is I know we're looking for money for saving up for later, but honestly, that's another reason why we should fund these programs fully, is because they're going to need the funding this next year. Mm. So I would kind of just go either for fully funding or not funding at all.
Any other thoughts on this one?
I definitely used their summer program when I was a kid, so can't say no to this one.
I also look at any program that serves youth as like a savings later.
Yeah. Well, that's all.
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
This is a little bit technical, and I forgot to do it a couple of years ago, but on this one in the memo you see next week, I might add a provision for early payment, because the summer programs start before July 1, and this is, a couple of years ago, I put Chris Wilson in a very bad position, because he couldn't make the first payment until July 1st, and he knew that they were waiting, so the memo will look a little different for the just for summer initiatives.
That completely makes sense. I am definitely in favor of that. All right, next was Family First Advocacy Empowering Bridge Program. This is a new request for $233,355. They mentioned that they could not really reduce their request further. And given that it is a new program that we have not funded before, and some of the other discussion items we've had about it, the current recommendation is to not fund it, although I do hope that they will seek other funding and also potentially come back in the future. Other comments, thoughts about this one?
Well, I still believe that on paper this is like the better family-focused endeavor in our request packet. It is still new, and I'm wondering if they would be able to work with the Cunningham Children's Family Advocacy Program so they can both grow, like learning from their weaknesses and strengths and that they could potentially provide in the future, their strengths, I mean. But for now, I just hope that they reapply later, because on paper they actually do have measures of engagement that seem very promising. So,
thank you. Other thoughts about this one?
I think previously I had shared some concerns with this application, but yet I also believe, you know, we need to invest in these types of programs so that we're not investing in other things down the road. But with that said, I guess as I read, and I appreciate the detailed like cost analysis on different programs, but you know, we talk about partnerships and things like that. And if you're paying $20 per person for a meal for one program at $36,480, I'd like to see them partner with Canes or, I mean, somewhere. Is there someone who can, a $20 meal to me is a big expenditure, you know? And so I kept seeing these things and, you know, book giveaways again, I think that's great, but I guess I'd be interested to know, like, these books, are the kids going home and reading them? You know, I just, again, I'm not running the program. I've never ran a program like this, but from the outside looking in, I feel like there's some ways that they could trim their budget and give more to services rather than food and other things. You know, a two-day conference at $37,000. I mean, it just goes on and on. And so I love the concept, but I don't know. You gotta show me the proof before we...
I was going to be cheeky and say, I feel like a Cane's meal probably is $20.
Well, that's true, too.
But they could maybe partner with.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see some of the businesses in the community be like, we'll donate meals to you. I mean, I think this one was hard, and I tried to imagine a scenario where we could fund it. It seems like it's essentially an unfunded mandate. Like, in a way, is that true, Lynn, or no? From the schools, No.
The state likes these kind of organizations and considers them central to the new children's mental health transformation plan. So, hey, state, or schools,
yeah.
Right? Like, it's starting to look like an unfunded mandate, but it's an unfunded recommendation at this point.
Which is also not great, but it's better than an unfunded mandate, but it's still not great. Like, school district funding, state funding, that stuff is all, there was just not really a scenario where even if we trimmed reduced all the requests down to like the bare minimum that they could do, we still could not fund this. But it is another one that I hope will come back. Any other comments on it? All right, seeing none, we'll move to First Followers, First Steps Community Reentry House. They requested $69,500. They did not increase their request from the prior year, which was very rare to have seen. We know we have had, issues with late audits with them for a long time, but we know that this service is really important. So the current recommendation is to fully fund. But definitely open to comments on this one. And we do have another one from them after this that we'll discuss too. No comments. So we will next move on to the First Followers Peer Mentoring for Reentry. So they originally requested $120,000. They did come back and say that they could do this for $90,000 instead due to some kind of specific components that seemed like it would not impact staff members. It seemed like they were trying to do more with less, and this is closer to what we had funded them at in the past. So in this case, the current recommendation is to go ahead and accept that lowered amount, but we can discuss if we want to do something different. Any thoughts on this one?
I'm totally in support of that. I did want to say, though, First Followers is one of those that, was late with their audit, and it was kind of like one of these, I like to draw the line in the sand, you're late. But we've also talked about how this is a program that no one else is offering in our community, and it is a much needed program. And so I'm glad that, we were able to evaluate their applications. I always appreciate when people come forward and are honest and say, hey, I could, lower that by $30,000. Much appreciated. So I guess I'm glad we went with the approach of let's take individual applications rather than saying blanket, we're not, if you're late, you're off the list. If you're new, you're off the list. So I think it's good that we kind of are going case by case. And this is a good example of that.
I think also, even if we decided that we wanted $0 in fund balance, we could not fund the full difference between what they originally asked for and what they said they could do. So the idea of trying to find some middle ground there didn't make a whole lot of sense. I agree. I think their rationale for why they could do less, I think, was something that seemed more, something we could do that would not impact the service quality. Any other comments on this one? All right, seeing none, we will next move on to GCAP, Advocacy Care and Education Services, which we discussed earlier. They requested $113,878. They did come back with a slightly reduced request. There was a great amount of detail about how each different line, and I think some of that was even summarized, that there was even more information provided, and we really do appreciate the level of detail that they provided, but I think that one was particularly painful for me to see how that would impact things. So again, the recommendation is to not reduce that one, but again, we can talk about it further. Everyone good with this? All right, we will next move on to Grow in Illinois Peer Support. The request is for $179,805. And for this one, the recommendation is to reduce this slightly by an amount that was like an error originally. I don't know if Lynn, if you want to share any more about that, or it's just reducing by $8,000.
Well, we started talking to them about errors, and it got so complicated, and they're in a moment of transition. They had some extra funding from the state to do things that you don't fund that were working out pretty great, except for state funding is sometimes really a problem. Like, it's reimbursement based almost always, and this is very difficult for such a small organization. So we kind of got lost in the weeds with discussing this year and next year. So we just went with that earlier analysis that there were some revenue errors and reduced the amount just by those. But I think that this was a tricky one, because we just really, the more we talked, the more difficult things got for them and for us, right? Is that, yeah.
Any thoughts about this one? I hope some of that information will get clearer with time, but I think, you know, the amount of the reduction, you know, is not very much in it, and it does account for the errors, but I hope there will be less errors in the future. We can now move on to Habitat for Humanity Homebuyer Program. This is another new program. The request was $229,560. Again, this being a new program, the current suggestion is to not fund it, but we can definitely talk about that further. Any thoughts on this? Come back with a reduced amount as well, but there were not really any scenarios in which we could fund even that reduced amount, even if, you know, a bunch of other requests took reductions. I think also it was a strong application, although I think the justification, you know, the kind of prioritization of mental health and substance use disorders and like working with participants from that population is something I would have liked to see more. I hope, you know, they might consider coming back and reapplying. Any other comments on this one? All right, next is Promise Healthcare Mobile Clinic. This is also a new request. They requested $200,000, similar to other discussions, because this is a new program, and I think we discussed how we wanted to maybe see their initial pilot go. The suggestion is to not fund this one this year. But again, you know, I'm hopeful to see how their piloting goes. Are there any comments about this one or any changes people want to make?
I really echo what, you know, you just said. I think it sounds like a fantastic concept. You know, we had talked about those sometimes, you know, leading people to the opportunity, they don't always take it. So I am very interested to see how the pilot goes, and maybe they'll have so much demand that we'll be like, oh my gosh, we have to jump on board to help, you know, fulfill that need. So I like the concept. But you're right, with it being new and somewhat of a pilot, I think we kind of have to stay where we've been. But we've had, you know, other contracts, obviously, with Promise, so we're familiar with, you know, how things work there. So I encourage them to reapply next year.
Any other thoughts on this one? All right, so we did discuss Rosecrans Central Illinois Behavioral Health Urgent Care already. Are there any additional thoughts that anyone would like to share about this one? All right. I know the current suggestion is to not fund it, just knowing that the amount of the request is so large and the amount that other requests would have to change for us to even be able to do like a fraction of it is just so great. But I do hope that they will find other funding and come back. Any other last comments on this? All right, next, Rosecrans Central Illinois Benefits Case Management. This it request is for $181,000. And this one was, you know, an expansion from the prior year because they desperately need additional staff. They did mention they could make a slight adjustment and reduce. They would be, you know, essentially hiring a bachelor's level instead of a master's level for the position. I think, you know, the amount would be such a little difference. It wouldn't make sense to necessarily reduce it by that, especially, you know, we want them to retain quality staff for this position. So the current suggestion is to fully fund. But any comments on this one?
Sure. I'm so proud of myself for not talking about Medicaid at every single meeting that y'all have, but I would really like to see full funding on this one. I hope y'all can read between the lines here. I'm trying not to say it, but I just, of all the fortune telling that I would feel confident to do, I'm pretty sure it's going to become harder to keep Medicaid really soon. So having another high quality staff person that they can keep, I think will be really important. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other comments on this one? All right, we're getting close to the end, y'all. So the next one is Rosecrans Central Illinois Recovery Home. The request was for $200,000. This had been a large increase from the prior year, and they did come back and say that they could tolerate a reduction to $125,000. And just given the size of the reduction and like the specifics of the application, the current suggestion is to go ahead and accept that lower amount and offer funding for $125,000, but we can definitely talk further about this. I know there's not that many that we are going to do the lowered amount for, but we can definitely talk about this further. What are your thoughts?
I defer to staff. I think that is a very reasonable suggestion.
Yeah, again, like, you know, like we, you know, would go over and we would, you know, we would not be able to fund that full amount. I also defer to staff on that one. Any other comments? Okay, only a few left. So next is Uniting Pride of Champaign County Children, Youth, and Families Program. They requested $225,056. They did come back. They talked about how, you know, basically if we kept them at their current funding level, essentially they would not be able to expand in the way that is necessary, including hiring outreach for specific populations that are harder to reach. You know, in this instance, especially given our prioritization of LGBTQIA plus individuals, the current recommendation is to fund their full amount so they can, you know, reach the populations needed. But we can definitely talk about this further. I definitely did not feel comfortable reducing this one, but you want to add something?
Yeah, the errors in the personnel form do not affect the cost. This was not a case of Chris Wilson and I seeing it two different ways. This is just a case of the way you fill out the form. So, yeah.
Thank you. All right. The next one is We Never Walk Alone, Trained First Responder Peer Support. This was a new program. The request was for $20,330. Again, with the new programs, we, you know, the overall decision has been to not fund. We also know that there's some this agency is not fully eligible for our funding. So that is another consideration, even if we did have the ability to do more. Any comments on this one? All right. The next application is also from this agency, We Never Walk Alone, Vetted Mental Health Professional Network. Also new, requested $19,056. $656, and again, due to it being new and not eligible, the recommendation is to not fund. Any thoughts on this one?
Well, I guess a thought in general is, you know, I always think about fundraising and stuff like that. I believe we still have an active Back the Blue group in Champaign County, and maybe this agency should contact them, because between those two requests, if you had one nice night of a band and a party, you might be able to raise that to help all the people. So I like the concept, but again, we just, due to the money, and again, I already said, I think, you know, our police department, fire departments, county and all that should be the one funding this, maybe not out of the mental health board budget.
Yeah, I think the eligibility piece of the agency also, like if they, you know, made themselves eligible. I know they did come back with some like options for reducing the request, but like if you're not eligible, then you're not eligible. So that's something they could consider in the future too, is, you know, looking at why they weren't eligible and could they become eligible in the future. But also, you know, as with all programs, like other entities should be stepping up to also provide mental health funding. Any other comments? All right. We sort of have one last one after this, but it's one we couldn't review. So this next one is WIN Recovery, the WIN Resilience Resource Center. This is a new request. However, they did apply last year for funding, and we did not fund them due to some various reasons, but they came back and, you know, some of what we had said is like your application was too similar to your other application, and they did, you know, make changes that we wanted to see. So they originally requested $270,000, but they did come back to us and say that they were wanting to revise their request before we even asked this question, I think, to $210,000 due to some different factors. So the current recommendation is to fund them at that $210,000 level. This would be the only new program we would fund, and we can definitely discuss a rationale for that and if we'd want to make any changes there. But given that we fund them already for another program, and this is a very similar program, but it's for individuals who I believe do not live on site, is what makes this different. And I think, you know, having that access to services is important. And because they did apply in the past, you know, we want, at least from my perspective, when agencies apply, don't get funded, take our feedback, come back and apply again, you know, that is a reason to consider offering funding. But I know there's a rationale to not fund any new programs and to fund a different new program. So can definitely talk about this more. Are there any comments on this one?
It becomes really hard for, I mean, I think that WIN Recovery does amazing work. It becomes really hard for me to say that we're going to fund this new program as opposed to any of the other ones, like Strides, I was going to say it. and I understand the difference in application quality, and all of that is valid. but I will struggle with this.
I mean, we can definitely talk about if, you know, if we want to do something different here, and hear from others on sort of the rationale for, you know, offering this one and not other new ones. I think, like, one consideration I had was that, like, this program is already running, which both means if, like, if they're already running, do they need our funds? But at the same time, if they're already running and we don't fund, would it shut down? So what are y'all's thoughts?
Well, I think we're all very tired, but Jen just kind of made me perk my ear a little bit because I was a bit critical of this application last year, and I'm sure a couple of the things I was critical about might be things that they adjusted. But then I have to question, you know, maybe, and again, it's hard to pit programs against programs, but you know, yeah, if I'm thinking about this, when Strides, I mean, right there would be like my trade-off. And I don't know. And I don't know if this is one that we start with maybe next week, because I'll admit, I'm a little, like, checked out a tiny bit. Yeah. And I just don't want, like, emotions to, you know, but that just really perked my ear because, yeah. I don't know. And it's no easy answers. I hate that. But I'm glad that we are doing this as a group because there's a lot of people who would not give up their Wednesday night to hang out with each other. But I'm glad we do it.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I'm thinking about, like, if we're going to fund, I guess I don't consider this as much of a new program because they've applied before and because we're funding them in other ways, and because the program is currently running. I also know that they, you know, they really prioritize working with women and LGBTQIA individuals in a way that other services don't. But I do think, you know, it raises a question of, like, if we don't fund them, then what would we do instead? I think this is too much. That would be too much to just put into fund balance. But then what is the rationale for funding a different new program? So it's challenging. I think we could definitely make changes to this up until the point that we're voting next week. I think if there are, the time to have the discussion is now, and I know we're all exhausted. Are there any, but I think, you know, regardless, if what gets put into the decision memo needs to change at the meeting, that is okay. So if we can't fully have this discussion right now, we can have it then. But if there are any final points that anybody wants to make about this or any other programs, I think now is a good time to do it.
Just a small thing I wanted to add was, I know they've been functional already, and I know this is a new application, so maybe their benchmarks just wouldn't be comparable to what we usually measure, but it would have been nice to see their benchmarks based off of what they measure, because all I see are generalizations in their measures, but no outcomes even. So it would have been nice to kind of see at least what they measure and what they find important, and then assess from there. But there's really nothing here except for they have 12 benchmarks, and it's like housing stability, acquiring personal identification, maintenance of sobriety, development of self-identified goals, progress toward achieving self-identified goals, compliance with conditions of probation or parole, no re-incarceration, ability to access benefits or assistance, regular attendance at recovery meetings, enrollment in school, access resources to employment, sought employment, and family reunification if applicable, but there's no numbers tied to any of that. But they all sound wonderful, for sure. So,
are there any insights that the staff can share based on, like, their other program potentially, or anything about any takes you all have on that?
I actually do have a staff comment that they wrote down, if you would like me to read it.
Yeah, go for it.
It says, because these outcomes are the benchmarks identified in the model, they are identical to the outcomes identified in the agency's currently funded program, though without specific targets. Collecting data at several intervals allows the program to capture both early stabilization and longer-term progress. One limitation is the outcomes are primarily descriptive and do not appear to include clearly defined numerical targets. For example, percentage achieving housing stability, which make it more difficult to assess overall program performance at the aggregate level. Specific targets are not identified. It is not clear whether people served have a choice among goals. May be important for women in recovery.
All right, so Den, since you have the gospel over there, would you mind sharing with me for when, so this program, like how many clients they plan to serve, and also the number for the STRIDES program? Thank you.
Yeah, of course. The treatment plan clients, it says 75 clients will have a recovery support plan. The non-treatment plan clients, 25 clients not returning after initial services and reunited family members, community service events, 40 reentry and community engagements, service contacts, 100 phone calls, and walk-ins. In addition to that, yeah, I think that's it. Besides, you know, the normal thing I always like to point out, which is within one day of referral, 100% of those referred will be assessed. Within one day of assessment, 100% of those assessed will engage in services.
And would you clue us in on what you're aiming for here?
I think, you know, Molly, after each program, she'd say, how will this affect the staff if we don't, you know, fund it? How will it affect the citizens of our county if we don't fund it? Well, like right now, we're playing we started this pit game now a little bit of.
Sorry.
No, I'm glad we're having the conversation. When does not, no one's going to lose their job if we don't, you know, fund it. They're potentially going to serve 75 with a plan. No one at STRIDES is going to lose their job if we don't fund it. And are you able to see how many they expect to treat with the money?
Is this something that any staff members would be willing to share any thoughts about?
Sure.
I'm really sorry.
I think we have a variety of thoughts about that. The comments and the outcomes that Den just read, I think, are a combination of Leon's observations and mine. They could just add some numeric targets to those outcomes, and that'd be easier. I have a sort of general issue with it. As a woman in recovery myself, I'm not sure if requiring all 12 or 13 of those goals is like consistent with the needs of women in recovery. So like, I like the model. I like the results that they're getting, and they actually have, I am shocked, but need to share this with you. Our justice partners really like WIN Recovery. And they are a partner at tables like drug court, steering committee. So that's really important to me, because they're a hard to please crowd. Our justice partners, they want different things from providers, not always consistent, but they like this one. So, you know, I have to sort of set my experience as a woman in recovery next to that and say, well, you know, it there is a point in recovery where you need people to tell you what to do. So this maybe is similar to the STRIDES substance use supports. I mean, it's behavioral health, it's substance use supports. So maybe it's similar, like it's people at the very beginning of that effort and not. The odds are stacked against people in that moment. So my objection to the outcomes there is really sort of, I think it's conditioned more like the things Leon said are more important to me. There should be numeric targets so that we can measure the program's performance. And we also need to understand that people early in recovery are often not successful, whether they're showing up at STRIDES or at this resource center. This resource center already exists. We talked about that. I don't know, Leon, if you want to offer, because it's different from what I hear. Yeah.
Very nice center, well stocked. It's already operational. They're doing great work with the center already. One thing that I'm just looking at is the suggested number of 210 per year. What is half of that? What's half of that? What's half of 210? Okay.
Oh.
What is STRIDE asking for?
110, right?
Well, they adjusted to. The adjustment was 109, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, like, the idea of, like, potentially funding both, funding WIN at a lower level. I think if, I guess what I would say is, I don't, if we're getting into the game of, or not game, but like the discussion of what would we fund instead, I mean, I am concerned because STRIDES did not complete a CLC plan. Their application was not complete. And if we're thinking about what programs would people lose jobs, I think there's a chance that Brightpoint, that service, I mean, they have, they're likely losing funding from VOCA, I believe. And that is what made Races and come to us a few years ago and ask for funding for a program that they never received, had got asked funding for in the past. I think that opens up a question of like, what if, you know, if we don't fund WIN completely or if we fund them, you know, partly, is there, do we automatically give it to STRIDES when, like, other applications were better written or other eight programs may result in people losing their jobs if they don't get funding? So it opens up a can of worms that we may need to discuss further at a time when I know we are already exhausted. So I think this is a question of, I know, you know, my goal is also like we have to conclude our study session at some point, but it prompts a lot of questions.
We do. And, I apologize for bringing it up. I do think
I have to apologize. I wish you had mentioned it sooner.
Like, with a nice bow if we had just stuck to the rule, right? to answer your question, it's 200 TPR, 100 NTPR for STRIDES. I agree. Like, you know, I stand by what I said. I came in here saying, you know, no new programs, only programs that have completed their applications on time, yada, yada. Rules are really important and boundaries are important. If we follow all the rules, then we still have all this extra money, and that's where it gets sticky. And that's, I can either follow the rules or I can't follow the rules. It's really hard to be in the gray area here.
For some reason, that made me think of no broke counties, no new programs. So just another cheeky thing. But yeah, I have nothing else to add to that. And that, and yeah, Jen already answered that question. So, but you know, Leon brings up good points. So, as always,
I mean, I will say, like, if we wanted to consider, like, to not fund WINS program because they're, even though they're reapplying after not getting funded last year, I kind of put them in a little bit of a different category for myself. But if we chose to not fund them because they are a new program, I mean, we could raise the level of the couple of extra programs, like Recovery Home, we could raise that to up by 75,000. We could raise First Followers up. We could potentially even raise Grow up, even though, you know, we need to figure out the error thing. That would still leave like a big chunk, like that would leave about 100,000 left. So it, you know, it is something to consider. Unless somebody has a bright idea of how to work through this right now, I would encourage everybody to reflect on it and send your thoughts, and we can, you know, Lynn and I will talk about like adjustments to make to the memo, and we can adjust the memo live while we are voting next week. If everyone wants to make my last meeting as president as stressful as humanly possible.
Well, this is...
I've done it before. I'll do it again. We've adjusted numbers on the fly before.
Well, the memo is not decisions.
Yep.
It's not. It's, you know, and it may not make things easier next Wednesday. And, like I said, you can finish some of this work and leave some of it for later if it continues to be this difficult and this late and the snacks all gone, you know, this, well, I have more hidden, but yeah, just whatever we do in the next couple of days with all of this input, it's still not the end of the story.
That is very, very important. And please don't take my comment about making the last meeting harder. I will do what is needed to be done for the good of the board and the good of the community, even if it's, you know, changing motions and calculating things on the spot.
Well, hopefully we won't have to do that. So I guess, Lynn and Molly, I'm asking, would it be reasonable to ask the board if they have any thoughts, questions, scenarios to have them to you, say, by close of business tomorrow, so like 5 p.m., and then that would still give you guys time by midday on Friday to make any potential adjustments.
That's great.
It's
the best that you can do,
right?
And it's the best that we can do. And just please, like, it doesn't have to be perfect. On
maybe even, yeah. What about by 3 p.m. tomorrow? Because I know Lynn and I.
Oh, because then we'll talk.
Because my therapy sessions end at 3:30, and I have on my calendar to talk to Lynn at 3:45.
That's perfect. And possibly, like, obviously, like, Molly and I can't send a note to Rusted Board, but, you know, we do have a couple people missing tonight. Like, maybe did they have any thoughts that they had shared with the two of you that maybe we need to kind of be aware of?
We've incorporated all of the input that we got from everybody.
I just pointed out that there are some comments that just came into the...
There's a whole lot. Carrie Hacker has been commenting throughout the meeting, mostly making me feel good.
Okay.
We do have opportunity
good
for
job,
public
Carrie.
Input
good
still.
Job.
Praising a lot of your
Give
discussion.
Lynn to glow up.
And we could move to... We could finish this and go to public input, and Carrie could tell you herself, but it's a lot of nice input.
Yeah, I think we do have
and
opportunity
also,
for public
Carrie,
comment.
No, we will not be able to post this on YouTube prior to 3 p.m. tomorrow. There's no way. Because I have to go through the VTT file, if it was saved. I have to insert whoever said everything. I have to figure out who said everything, change the spellings of your names, because... The AI doesn't understand.
After 4 years, it still can't get Molly McClay right.
It really doesn't. There is really no way. In fact, I don't think I'm going to get any of our video or Zoom pieces posted until next week. We really need to focus on this right here. The audio recording from the room will be up. That's it, though.
Well, yes, please send your reflections to Lynn by 3 p.m. tomorrow, or Lynn and me, I guess, by 3 p.m. tomorrow. I will commit to emailing every board member solo with no other board members attached, since we are not making it a meeting, to tell them to do this. And with the understanding that we can make changes up until the moment that we vote.
This is why the alphabet is so bad.
Should have just done let's do a randomizer and go in that order. All right. Well, any final discussion on this tonight before we move to the next item, which is public comment? All right. We have worked very hard. I'm going to give us a round of applause for that, because this is a lot. All right. So next we will move to public participation agency input. I will read my spiel in as least boring a way as possible. But as always, members of the public are welcome to give public input. We cannot respond directly to public input, but we may use it to inform future decisions. If you want to make public, there's nobody else left in person to make public input. But if you are on Zoom and would like to make public input, you can raise your hand or put something into the chat. I may limit individual time to 5 minutes and total time to 20 minutes. All feedback is welcome. Is there anybody online who would like to make public input, or any ghosts in person who would like to?
Carrie is applauding. There are several people still online.
The applause sign, the hand
raising. Yeah, it's the clapping. No one is raising their hand to give input, but they can, all y'all on Zoom, because we don't have anybody in the room.
There is no raising hand input for me.
We have right now healthcare costs out of control.
So can I make a comment quickly?
Yes.
I know you guys can get out of here. I just want to thank each and every one of you tonight, because what I just witnessed at this board was a lot of very insightful, very thoughtful, hard decisions that you guys have to make. And I applaud each and every one of you for taking the amount of time that you did. And last, Molly, thank you for coming here after your surgery.
You are most welcome. I guess I'm not supposed to respond to public input, but thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to make public input? Lynn, would you be willing to read the comments that are in the chat into the record?
Carrie, I'm going to read your comments. There are a few. We go back to, there was a question about whether CESA, you probably know about CESA. It's a state law that has not yet been implemented. It was really well-intentioned, but the state systems were not ready to do it. So lots of work trying to get ready to do it, including potentially state funding to organizations such as Rosecrans for co-responder and other crisis type services. And just so there's a question about that. And it is my understanding that the state does have a good relationship with Rosecrans. So there could be some relief. It's just not here yet. There is a comment from Liz Miner when you were talking about your experience a few years ago, and this is what I thought. She said that was the crisis respite center, what you described. So that was nice. Then Carrie says, please consider fully funding the RPC homeless services. Growthful impact, especially with changes in other funding. Having that front door is extremely impactful for those they serve. And then thank you for Courage Connections funding. And then the Cunningham Families Stronger Together is a critical program for this community. This is imperative for family supports as well. And then, will this meeting be on our YouTube channel for reflection prior to 3 p.m. tomorrow? But you already heard me talking about that. There is going to be an audio recording, though. So, thank you
for reading the comments. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment? All right. Seeing none, we will next move to board announcements and input. Is there anyone who would like to make an announcement or input? I just want to clarify, my procedure was very minor. I'm just in a little more pain than I expected to be. So maybe I did not make the world's best choice to have a surgery right before this meeting, but all is well. Any other announcements? Hopefully, more substantive than that one. All right, seeing none, our next item is to adjourn. So our next meeting will be Wednesday, May 27th at 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center, Urbana, Illinois. We are hereby adjourned. Have a good night, everyone, and thank you for sticking around.